You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and you said what you used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. And this week, we chat about Raw's 1,000th episode, John Cena, Tensei's tattoos, Austin Aries becoming champion, TNA Rewind, and a whole lot more. Now, my name is David, and I'm joined today by my good friend Alex. How are you doing, Alex?
I'm doing very well, David.
Good. Well, it's great to be together here on the show this week. I think we got a lot of great wrestling topics to discuss. So what do you think? Should we get started?
Yeah, let's ring the bell.
World Wrestling Entertainment. This coming Monday night, it's the very special Raw 1000th episode, a show that will be 3 hours long and should be filled with surprise guests and a lot of good drama. But in general, do we really need 3 hours of Raw every Monday night? Alex, I sure don't. I like the two-hour format. I think with 3 hours, especially if the rumors are true, where this third hour is going to be more of a social media kind of thing, not even a lot of wrestling, I think that's too long. I don't think the roster's deep enough for three great hours every Monday night. What do you think?
You know, I thought you brought up an excellent point with the roster being deep enough. And not only that, but I think creatively it's a struggle. These guys seem, you know, very overworked already, and you're adding another hour every week of television. But in general, I'm very excited for this 1,000th episode. We're going to see a lot of acts that we haven't seen in a while on TV. And then I'm actually very excited for the John Cena CM Punk World title match. But as a whole, the 3 hours can seem very long and something I'm not looking very forward to.
Yeah, and you have a good point, because this should be a very, very good Raw Monday night. Cena Punk, you know, look, the wedding of AJ and Daniel Bryan is in itself good drama for the story that they have going on with those characters. And there's going to be a lot of people coming back. I expect a lot of good video highlights from, of course, the previous 999 episodes, picking out some of the real highlights. So I think Monday night's going to be a lot of fun. My concern really going forward then is, you know, when the glamour and shine wears off of Monday night, I'm not sure I'm looking forward to 3 hours the following week.
Absolutely, because, I mean, I feel like the longer the television broadcast is, the more you find yourself tuning out. I mean, as big of a sports fan as I am, I mean, oftentimes I'm playing with my phone, and a lot of those broadcasts go 3 hours. And during Raw, I pay attention because I cover it, but I wouldn't pay attention so closely if I wasn't covering it. So a lot of details of storylines could be left out if you're not paying close attention. I'm not in favor of this move, and I can't think of too many fans that are in favor of this move. I mean, is there a giant clamoring for an extra hour of Raw every week?
No, and what I think is interesting is that the WWE for the longest time didn't really want to even acknowledge the Internet and the Internet wrestling community and social media, and now it's like they're going overboard and embracing it. You know, but this whole social media third hour, I mean, I'm a little hesitant. But let me ask you, as someone who does do a post-Raw show every week, how does this affect your recording schedule? I mean, do you think you're going to have that much more material to talk about?
I mean, my co-host has kind of said that, you know, he expects some of his performance to go down. It's just hard to stay in tune, and I understand, you know, it's part of the job of covering the show. But, I mean, it's kind of hard to keep yourself interested in a three-hour broadcast. And I live on the West Coast, and I get the East Coast feed. So this means the show will start for me at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And, I mean, that's a lot of times when people eat dinner and whatnot. And it's a big commitment. You said you enjoy the two-hour broadcast. I wouldn't even mind them going to a one-hour broadcast. I mean, let's consolidate the best stuff we have and put it on the air. It seems like it's best for everyone. I mean, SmackDown's 2 hours every week. That can be consolidated down to an hour. It seems like overload without, in turn, getting, you know, bang for your buck.
Well, we know that's advertising dollars, though. I mean, they're not going to take an hour off of the show because they are selling those ads. But for now, I mean, let's enjoy Monday night and then cross our fingers.
That sounds like a good idea. But I mean, WWE doesn't actually get those advertising dollars. USA does. So, I mean, USA come out with another original program or something. I'm just not a big fan of, you know, as a wrestling fan, it's hard to say, but I'm not a fan of all these hours.
Their shows are great. They all have the same kind of name, Suits and Burn Notice, and I don't even know. This show's kind of cracked me up. White Linen, I don't even know what the names are. John Cena is Mr. Money in the Bank, and judging by the reaction from the internet wrestling community, some people are not real happy about it. Are people overreacting? I certainly think so, Alex. Let's not forget, John Cena's been down for a while. His character's, you know, compared to when he normally is, Super Cena, it's been kind of a tough past 8 months for him. So it was certainly no surprise that he won at Money in the Bank, but I wasn't that outraged by it. How did you feel when he won that matchup?
You know, it kind of introduces an interesting dynamic. I mean, you do have Super Cena, who has seemed to have been able to get a title shot at his beck and call. And I can't remember the last time John Cena has had a title shot. I mean, he's been engaged in a lot of storylines since the beginning of the year with Kane and Big Show and John Laurinaitis. So I believe this may be one of his first title shots this year, actually. And so going into this Monday Night's Raw against CM Punk, I'm very interested in this match, and it adds a brand new dynamic because it's not a guarantee that John Cena's going to win the title this Monday. And every Money in the Bank winner, well, you know, that's not a true statement completely because Ken Anderson did win the Money in the Bank. But traditionally, the last person to hold on to the briefcase ends up winning the title. And with John Cena, you're not guaranteed that. So it's kind of interesting.
Do you think that we're definitely going to see Punk and Cena at SummerSlam?
You know what? I think we will, and I think that the beginning of the story will be told on Monday. Big Show has some interesting stuff to say, kind of addressing the real-life issue that CM Punk has been the world champion, yet he hasn't headlined a pay-per-view this year. All the attention's been focused on John Cena. So, you know, it's kind of interesting, this Big Show, CM Punk, John Cena dynamic going into this Monday's Raw 1000th episode. You know, we talk about the 1000th episode on the last segment, but, I mean, it's like they're so jam-packed. I would like to see some time devoted to this particular story, and hopefully they're able to give it the proper time it's needed.
What does this do to Daniel Bryan? Certainly been, you know, right there with CM Punk these past couple months. I think every bit is important to, you know, how interesting that story's been. Now is he getting a bit brushed aside here?
You know, that's okay. I mean, not every guy can stay atop forever. Daniel Bryan is engaged in an interesting storyline. My only concern is, you know, what is the match going to be that follows his storyline? It was the same concern I had about Antonio Cesaro. He was brought in with an interesting storyline, but like I said here on this radio show, I mean, what is the match we're building toward? And I asked the same thing about this Daniel Bryan storyline. While it's interesting, what is the match we're building toward? And at the end of it, when, you know, everyone leaves the table, who is he supposed to wrestle, AJ? It would be interesting to see, but I don't really feel like it's building up a match, but you're utilizing Daniel Bryan very well. I don't think you can be upset if you're a Daniel Bryan fan right now.
Well, I think what this is, again, an example of is how different storytelling is now than it was 20 years ago. And I don't always want to romanticize that, but, you know, we didn't have pay-per-views every month. We could have gone into SummerSlam with Punk versus Daniel Bryan, AJ as a special guest referee.
Well, you know, I mean, talk about famous wedding angles at SummerSlam. We had Macho Man Randy Savage get married to Miss Elizabeth, which built up to the Jake the Snake Roberts storyline.
Yep.
And I just like to see matches built up with stories, you know, not stories for the sake of telling stories.
Is it time to give up on Lord Tensai or Tensai, whatever they're going to call him this week? And if so, what went wrong with his character? And Alex, face tattoos are just really dumb, aren't they?
You know, that wasn't the only thing that was completely dumb about this character. I mean, long-term wrestling fans remember him as A-Train. He was kind of built up as being this person returning from Japan, but we weren't given much backstory. It was kind of hard to get invested into the character because you weren't really given much to get invested in, and I think that was kind of the downfall of Lord Tensai. I don't believe he's done completely as a wrestler because I believe he's a really good talent,
yeah.
And you could repackage him and find something for him to do, but this big push he was expected to come in with and main event in pay-per-views with John Cena, it seems like that ship has sailed.
Well, I think he is a good talent. So let's start there, and I think you make a great point. So if he's on your roster, let's find something for him to do, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we see this a lot with World Wrestling Entertainment in the past, where they'll bring up talent with a good character, but they may not be ready in the ring. Tensai is not that at all. He's a very accomplished wrestler. I'm very familiar with his New Japan work. He's excellent in the ring. And he's a guy that you could repackage somewhat and bring him back, and maybe he won't, you know, be a top of your cards, but he's definitely someone in the middle. I mean, we brought up the depth issue earlier, and it's a legitimate concern. I mean, World Wrestling Entertainment as a talent roster, in some parts, it's the weakest it's ever been, in my opinion. A lot of guys, there's a lot of talented guys. I won't take away from the talent, but not a lot of interesting things going on with the guys. I wouldn't just throw Tensai away because I bungled up the storyline.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. I thought his debut, though, coming right after WrestleMania 28, was just kind of strange timing, Alex, because they were also bringing Brock Lesnar back. And so Lesnar overshadowed everything, you know, and of course Daniel Bryan got so big, and then, oh, by the way, they're doing this monster heel thing with A-Train, and I didn't like his look. There was too much going on. He was trying to, like, yank the face mask off, remember the salt with his manager. I just think that there was poor execution in the way they presented him again on television. They always make fun of the internet wrestling community, but everyone knew who he was. And so I think we all felt a little bit insulted as a group that they were kind of repackaging him without giving us a backstory for it. I think they'd like to put this whole back in the washer and you know, kind of get the stink off and start new with him.
You know, if you bought the Dusty Rhodes DVD, for example, I recently saw that at a video store. I mean, I don't remember it at the time, but they did a lot of vignettes to introduce the Plumber Man.
Yeah.
And I don't know why the same thing couldn't have been done with Tensai. I mean, we got these facing segments where he looked at the camera. It wasn't enough. We needed to know more about the guy if you repackaged him.
Yeah.
Even if we brought him back familiar, we needed to know more about him. TNA Wrestling. Austin Aries wins the TNA World Heavyweight Championship at Destination X. Was the title change too early? Bobby Roode and Austin Aries were the longest reigning champions, and what's interesting is that Austin Aries' reign was a little bit longer than Bobby Roode, so an aspect of the storyline that I don't believe they touched on too much is that when Austin Aries forfeited the X Division title to get his world title shot, that he was going into the match as actually a longer reigning champion, and then he beat Bobby Roode, which I thought was an interesting twist. I don't know if it was too early necessarily. I think time will tell. James Storm is still in the waiting to challenge the champion, and I'm convinced that we're still gonna get a Bobby Roode James Storm match, and I would like to see it still for the title. But I enjoyed what they did at Destination X. It shows that, you know, if you do make this sacrifice, quote unquote, of giving up the X Division title, that you would have a legitimate opportunity of winning the world title, because the X Division had kind of been on the back burner of TNA Wrestling for a while. David, do you have any opinions about early title changes?
Well, I don't want them to keep hot-shotting the title, I know that. I'm not so concerned about when the title was changed as I am about how it's changed and how they handle the characters going forward, as I would with any championship. Let me ask you, did you like the match when Austin Aries won? Did you think it was a good wrestling match?
I felt like it was a very good wrestling match. I mean, Bobby Roode is an excellent wrestler who's allowed to go out there, and he's given time for his world title matches. And something similar to, you know, CM Punk recently has been given a lot of time in his world title matches. And that's important for world titles. You want your champion to go out there and have a long match. You want it to be a grueling contest. Because, I mean, after all, this is for the most important prize in your company. And the match was excellent. Bobby Roode held the title for a long, long time. Now, talking about hot-shotting, if we were to get the Bobby Roode James Storm match in October, they would have to turn the belt in the next 2 months, which might seem kind of quick. But if you have an interesting storyline and you do it sparingly, I don't think it hurts the aspect of your title.
Again, I don't want to get into, like, well, it was so quick. I want to talk more about the quality of the talent in the match and how they're investing in building these guys, the stories that they're telling. I like the fact that right here at the top of TNA, we're talking about guys like James Storm, like Bobby Roode, and like Austin Aries, and we're not snickering about it, that there's a legitimate future with these guys in TNA. I think, you know, there's a bit of an upswing right now with TNA, I feel. And, okay, Austin Aries, was it the right time for him to be the champion? Maybe, maybe not. But the fact that he is a champion isn't a joke, and I think that's good.
Absolutely. I mean, for the better part of this company's history, TNA has been looked at as a joke. And recently they have made changes to improve the aspects of the company. And hopefully they continue on this travel and they don't resort to hot shots, per se, to kind of get interest in the company. I think if you stay this course, you'll kind of get good results. Now, what those results are, I don't know, but I think you will get good results. TNA Rewind is no more after a few weeks. As weird as this sounds, we want less wrestling programming, correct? It was something I kind of brought up earlier, and you brought up a good point when you talk about ad revenue, and that's something we're going to get into the next topic as well. As a wrestling fan, I can't believe, you know, when I was a child, David, I wanted more wrestling, more wrestling. I feel like that's a better feeling to have than to have too much, you know? You know, SmackDown was on tonight, and I found myself just putting it on mute and doing other things, and then every once in a while looking up at it. I mean, too much wrestling programming these days, David.
What, wait, do you mean too much wrestling in terms of, like, the hours that it's on TV, or you want more wrestling, like, on Monday Night Raw, less backstage, less talking, and more actual in-ring work? You mean there's too much programming on?
Absolutely. I mean, there's too much programming. I mean, the pace and the flow of the show. Every show is, you know, unique to itself. I mean, you can have a wrestling show that's 1 hour that has 59 minutes of pro wrestling, and it can be the greatest television show you've ever seen. And on the inverse, you can have a show that's 59 minutes of promos and it can be the best wrestling show. That dynamic isn't necessarily what I'm talking about. The actual programming. There's too much professional wrestling on television, and it's not. I think it hurts that it's not always particularly good or the best it could be. But it seems like you want your wrestling fans wanting more, vice them being content or wanting less.
Well, we see this with an awful lot of shows. Remember when Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was a popular game show, and it was on like one night a week, but then it was on two nights. Then, Alex, then it was on five nights a week. And then someone won $1 million, and the show didn't have the buzz anymore. You do want your audience hungry. Now, I answer this question by saying I think we want good wrestling content, not necessarily a set amount of time or even within the program itself we need like 75% in-ring work. I think we just want good content, whether it be storytelling, whether it be good wrestling, or whether it be on four nights a week. For example, when WWE used to have Raw Mondays, ECW Tuesdays, Superstars Thursday, and SmackDown Friday, pretty full schedule, but I kind of liked it because I felt each of the shows was pretty well done. Next thing you know, WWE Superstars is on .com. I'm not logging on to watch a TV show.
The internet isn't necessarily something that bothers me, but I will admit I've heard high reviews of this Full Sail NXT tapings, but I have no desire to go online and really watch it.
Yeah.
And it's not the online dynamic for me. It's just I don't really want any more professional wrestling programming in my life. I mean, there's a lot of other things that I watch. I mean, I'm an avid sports fan. I like television shows and movies. And when the professional wrestling, there's just too much and not the quality of it that I want to continue to pursue.
Well, I didn't tell you this before we started, but we are now going to do the OWW radio show four times a week. So we're going to give the audience more programming.
Isn't that what they want?
That's what, and we're going to go 3 hours tonight.
DirecTV versus Viacom has affected TNA Wrestling because as a DirecTV subscriber, I can no longer watch the product. Does this conflict mean anything for the future of professional wrestling? That statement's actually outdated because from what I understand, they came to a deal this morning. It's starting next Thursday. I'll be able to watch Impact Wrestling again as a DirecTV subscriber. It must be the scariest thing in the world. I don't know if you follow any TNA guys on Twitter, David, but a lot of them were requesting you change your cable provider, and that's not an option for me. I mean, as much as I enjoy TNA Wrestling, as I said earlier, I'm not changing my cable provider over this. Ad revenues are definitely going down across the board. A lot of these major companies are losing money. I'm a Hulu subscriber, and I'm seeing more and more Hulu exclusives popping up. These internet pay-per-views, it looks like the television is completely going to change as a medium. And you look at music, I mean, music has completely changed to where there's not so many super bands as there were before, but a lot more one-hit wonders. And it kind of makes me wonder if professional wrestling is going to kind of go to that too. You're going to have your World Wrestling Entertainment and maybe one other company that may be TNA. And then your indies, it's going to be easy to become more viable as an indie, I guess. But no one's going to make the kind of money that they did today, I guess.
Yeah, well, first of all, I'm very upset because I was going to spring the news on you that this had kind of been settled today. I was hoping you hadn't heard that. I was going to, you know, be breaking the news to you. But so let's deal with the issue itself. The question you said is, does it mean anything for the future of professional wrestling? Because even though this issue was settled, there may be others coming along the pike, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you look at TNA Wrestling and WWE, both are backed behind media conglomerates.
Yeah. And I think that the analogy I like to use is wrestling's kind of like a shark. It's going to survive somehow. It may change, and some may get on Hulu, or we may have to have Viacom or DirecTV or some on .coms or whatever, whatever. But wrestling's going to survive. It's always going to be there. And one thing we learned certainly from Vince is Vince is a survivor. So I'm glad this got settled. I'm glad you don't have to change your provider. I certainly am not going to change from DirecTV because I don't want to have to deal with that. I mean, going through the cable companies is a real pain in the butt. But wrestling will be just fine. I just hope that they keep most of the shows, Alex, on either DirecTV or some kind of cable provider, and again, off the laptop. I don't want to be watching my quote-unquote live programming, you know, my weekly show in a dot-com environment.
I don't know if it's going to be a laptop environment for you, David, but I think that the television is already – it has the ability now to surf the Internet. It has the ability for you to watch shows on the Internet.
Yeah.
I think your TV is going to be one day a monitor, essentially, and you'll be able to watch whatever shows you want to watch on your television via the Internet. And as a wrestling company, I mean, you'll have the opportunity to get eyes on it, but I think there's going to be a lot more product out there.
But let me ask you this before we get to the next topic. You're a pro football fan, right?
Yes.
And it's much cooler to watch the NFL Sunday Ticket on DirecTV than it would be to watch your favorite team and log in to NFL.com and catch the game on NFL.com.
Yes, correct.
I feel that way. I mean, I like having the actual channels, the channel surfing, and it's kind of how I feel about wrestling. But in this case, I understand what you're saying about the TNA wrestlers themselves being nervous because they don't want their viewership to drop. It looks like we won't have to worry about that issue.
Correct, but I mean, as a Hulu and a Netflix subscriber, I have to say I am happy with kind of the ease where I can just go on my television and watch the shows there, and I think a lot of it's going to move in that direction.
Wild card topic number one. It has been announced that next April, five different promotions will present WrestleCon, a weekend filled with wrestling shows and fan fest activities. Of course, they're doing this in the New York, New Jersey area over WrestleMania weekend. Is this a good idea for Shimmer, Evolve, Dragon Gate, CZW, and Chikara? What do you think, Alex, when you heard that WrestleCon was going to be the same weekend as WrestleMania and be this conglomerate of wrestling talent?
I thought that was a brilliant idea. I mean, if WrestleMania was happening in Phoenix, Arizona, or some of the other locations, I would say no, not so much. But the fact that it's in New York, and you're already going to have a rabid fan base right there in New York who go to a lot of these shows regularly anyway, and plus you're going to have all the international fans traveling to go to these shows that they've seen on DVD, I think it's a great idea. Next year, ask me where WrestleMania is at, and I'll tell you if it's a good idea or not. But this year, excellent, great idea.
Now, you're familiar with these promotions probably more so than I am. And do you think that the audiences, though, are similar enough? In other words, yes, a lot of people like independent wrestling, but they may have their favorite promotion, Shimmer, whatever it may be, Dragon Gate. Are they going to want to go to the other shows?
Probably not, and I think that's a good thing. I mean, you've been to a lot of more WrestleManias than I have. I've only been to one. And, I mean, you see the large amount of professional wrestling fans that are there but don't even go to the WrestleMania. So I think it'll have the same effect in New York. It's already a big location for professional wrestling fans. Plus, you're going to have all the international fans. And if CCW is able to have 1,500 fans, how many fans are there in that area, 100,000? So
yeah.
If you ever draw 1,500 for CCW, awesome, good night. The same 1,500 people don't have to go to the Shimmer show or the Evolve show. So I think there's a large pool to draw from.
I did see the rundown, I guess the tentative schedule, of what that weekend's going to look like for WrestleCon. And, you know, it looked pretty good. Now, the thing that I am not sure about, though, is are they going to kind of piss off the WWE by running all this wrestling? They're not going to WWE Access on Saturday if they're going to see the Evolve or Chikara show. Is this going to piss Vince off?
I don't believe so. I believe that there's a lot of money to be made by everyone that weekend. This on a smaller scale has happened the past few WrestleManias, where Ring of Honor and now Dragon Gate USA and Evolve have been running shows the same weekend. And no, I believe that there's going to be a lot of money for everyone to go around. The New York market is so giant. I mean, you've been to the ECW Arena, David. You've seen all the fans that pack out that building.
Yeah.
There's going to be a conglomerate of fans that don't even plan on going to WrestleMania that will be in town that weekend. And so I think it's going to be a huge event for professional wrestling. Wild card topic number two. Sarah Del Rey has been signed to WWE Developmental. I picked this question out, like I said, because you're someone who covers women's wrestling. And Sarah Del Rey, we've had discussions about off the air. She wasn't the prototypical woman that World Wrestling Entertainment in the past would have gone after. Now, I've seen a video of her matches from this year, and she's done a lot to alter her body. Not, you know, and she's not injected anything into herself.
Not chemically.
But she's... Yeah, but, I mean, she's changed her physical shape. And what do you think about her signing?
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic because, yes, I'm happy for her, and I think she could have a nice impact on the women's division. However, what just happened to Karma? I mean, good gracious, I feel like this is the same conversation. We were cautiously optimistic when she came in because she's not the typical diva. And she got some great feuds with the girls on the roster. And then because of certain circumstances, both her own doing and then, you know, whether they couldn't find the right storyline for her or whatever, it never panned out. And now she's gone. And so, yeah, I'm glad Sarah Del Rey signed. I'd like to see if for nothing else for her career she gets this opportunity. But I'm not all in on this, are you?
I'm cautious as well. It kind of reminds me of the signing of Bryan Danielson. A lot of people call Sarah Del Rey the best women's wrestler on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
She's being brought into a brand new environment where the quality of in-ring work isn't of the utmost importance. It's how you project yourself on television. Sarah Del Rey hasn't had an extensive career of being a television personality, but neither had Bryan Danielson.
Right.
He had done some television work early in his career in WWE Developmental for Memphis Championship Wrestling, but he hadn't made his bones on television. Neither is Sarah Del Rey, so her ability to project a character on TV is going to be the most important aspect of her getting over with the fans and with the company. And women aren't given a whole ton of time. You know, it's going to be an uphill battle. I'm very happy Sarah Del Rey got signed. That's awesome. But it's going to be an uphill battle for her, and hopefully she stays the course and stays committed. I mean, I think that's the reason why Daniel Bryan has been so successful is because he's kept a good attitude and hit home runs with everything the company's given him.
Well, that's an excellent, excellent point about Sarah Del Rey possibly now kind of becoming a three-minute girl because that's what they do with their women. I mean, I don't think this is now going to be on Monday Night Raw. She's going to be given 20 minutes with Beth Phoenix. They've kind of packaged their women a certain way. What are her true hardcore fans going to think when she's going 3 minutes against, you know, against Rosa Mendez on Monday night?
You know, I mean, there's going to be a large aspect of cynicism. I mean, a lot of independent wrestling fans are just like music fans. I mean, when your favorite band makes it to the big time, you kind of get upset because they have to alter and change what they are. So hopefully they stay with Sarah Del Rey and continue to support her because that's really what she's going to need as she makes this transition in life.
I like the comparison with Bryan Danielson, and it did work out for him, so good. Blast from the past. Coco Beware is officially a WWE Hall of Famer. Based on what again? I mean, his lead vocal in Pile Driver? How do characters like Coco Beware get into the Hall of Fame, and is it really that important? I mean, but for me, Alex, this is kind of a little bit annoying in that I don't remember Coco Beware winning very many matches at all. In fact, I can remember him winning one match on Saturday Night's Main Event. He beat Nikolai Volkoff kind of when they just brought him in. Mostly he only beat jobbers and danced around with a bird. Every big match he had, he kind of lost.
You know, I'm kind of more upset about the producer about this question. I would like to develop more questions where we can kind of give argument instead of agreeing with everything, but you're absolutely correct. Coco Beware is a WWE Hall of Famer not because of his win totals or his in-ring work rate. He was a fine wrestler with a long career, but Bob Backlund's not in the Hall of Fame. Bruno Sammartino's not in the Hall of Fame. And those two names alone aren't in your Hall of Fame. That's not a quote-unquote legitimate Hall of Fame.
Right.
Look, every Hall of Fame kind of takes itself a little bit too seriously. I mean, there's discussion all the time about Baseball Hall of Fame. Babe Ruth wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer, so no one else should be. I think that's incredibly silly. World Wrestling Entertainment kind of plays it for what it is. You know, who are the fans going to get most interested in that we induct? We can treat them like a star that weekend. They can be put on the stage one more time and have the fans adore them. I'm completely fine with WWE does.
Well, you know, what the Hall of Fame has kind of become now, of course, is that big event on Saturday night of WrestleMania weekend, and they kind of build the inductees like they would build a wrestling show. You have your main event guys, then you have your mid-carders. And, you know, guys like Coco Beware, I wrote down here the Iron Sheik. And of course, Iron Sheik was world champion and tag team champion in WWF at the time, but, boy, there were a lot of years he didn't win any matches at all. But a legendary character, right?
Absolutely, and I mean, that's all you really need is for Vince McMahon to say yes. I mean, Vince McMahon Sr.'s limo cab driver's in the Hall of Fame. I mean, it is what it is, and for anyone to get upset about the WWE Hall of Fame, there's so many more things to get upset about in this world than this Hall of Fame. It's fine, and it's entertaining.
Well, Alex, normally this is the point in the show where we wrap up and tell people where they can find us on the Internet, but there's something that's just eating me alive. I got to get it off my chest. You mind if I do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you're a big basketball fan. We love talking basketball together, and I'm sure you saw that Jeremy Lin has moved on, left the New York Knicks, and signed with the Houston Rockets, and it's just kind of a head-scratcher to me. I mean, the thing that I keep asking myself is either franchise better off? I don't know. It's hard to fathom that he was on, what, three Sports Illustrated covers last year, at least two, and it looked like he was the mayor of New York, and now he's going to Houston. And I understand it from Houston's point of view because of his celebrity in a way, but Houston also let go two relatively decent point guards that were a lot cheaper to kind of, in my opinion, overpay for this guy. When you don't know who a guy is a year ago, and now, you know, he's demanding this big money, that's a little shaky, especially in a sport like pro basketball. You look over the history of pro basketball, Alex, there's not a lot of guys that were unknowns the year before that went on to have, like, 10-year Hall of Fame caliber careers. You know, he's a good player. I think the Knicks should have kept him because they could sell a billion jerseys. But if that's a team that's just up and down and in disarray, is either team better off?
Absolutely not. I mean, the New York Knicks replaced him with a career done Jason Kidd and Raymond Felton, who, if you look at the Portland fan base, they're not exactly crying. They're more concerned about Nicholas Batum right now than letting go of Raymond Felton.
Yeah.
That tells you all you need to know. And Houston's in a lot of dismay because it doesn't look like they're going to get Dwight Howard, which they were going all in on. So both franchises are going to kind of be in flux. And it's not necessarily because of Jeremy Lin that either franchise is going to be in flux, but he's getting paid. But you know what, David? While you're talking about basketball, I have one thing I want to talk about.
Okay.
We have the Olympics coming up. The FIBA organization sets the rules for international play of basketball. Shouldn't the FIBA international rules be the same rules as the National Basketball Association? I mean, isn't this where all the guys want to play if you have the opportunity, no matter if you're growing up in Germany or Italy? I mean, is your real goal to play for the Italian professional team, whatever it is in your country? Or do you want to go to the United States and become the best you can for the New York Knicks or for the Houston Rockets? Make the rules the same. And plus, as any viewer, I mean, I'm going to watch Olympic basketball, and there's going to be nuances that I'm not going to understand because I'm not regularly watching international basketball. It's just kind of annoying and frustrating. Maybe I have an American bias. I don't know. But I watch NBA. I want the rules to be the same.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Good basketball talk tonight. Now, don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on past episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll also be posting directly on the official OWW Facebook homepage. Now, until next time, I am David.
And this is Alex.
Alex, before we go, remind us again where we can hear your Monday night Raw recap show.
AngryMarks.com. It's called the Raw Reaction Show. We do it live every week.
And it comes on, what, like 5 minutes after Raw is over, or when do you go live on the air?
5 to 10 minutes after Raw ends the air, and then if it's too late for you, you can also download the next day on iTunes, keyword Angry Marks.
Excellent. Check it out, and we hope you've enjoyed this program. We'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. Well, that-